This message comes from NPR sponsor, Discover. Tired of not getting a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? With 24/7 live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
From NPR, I'm Sam Sanders. It's been a minute. My guest today is Emily Kane. And Emily and I, we go way back.
I saw you at Hotel Cafe years ago.
Come on.
Yes, I did. I just moved to LA. It was maybe like 2012, 2013.
Oh, my God.
That's a great venue. It's so
intimate. That's a great venue.
It's so intimate.
I do recall that being one of my worst shows ever.
No, it wasn't. It was actually a great show. Emily was touring her 7 EP, which is just full of these lush, intricate, delicate songs like this one. It's called Georgia. Come back, Georgia, come back. Come back, Georgia, come back. Flash forward to now, Emily has released 2 studio albums since then. She has toured around the world, opened for John Legend and Maroon 5, and just a few weeks ago, Emily Kane put out a new album. It's called Scenery. And this album is still full of all that lush, intricate songwriting that I came to enjoy all those years ago at Hotel Cafe. But the sound is a bit different this time. There's a little more 80s in it, a little more synthesizer. We talk about all of that and Emily's special relationship with her longtime producer, Jeremy Most, a.k.a. J. Most. And you might hear some of these songs live if you check out Emily Kane playing a venue much bigger than Hotel Cafe later on this year. She's playing the Coachella Music Festival. Wow.
Okay.
This April.
Did you, I mean.
I don't think they have the right person. I mean, I'm a little bit.
Are you nervous?
It feels like the cool kids in the cafeteria just invited me to sit with them.
Do it.
Come on, have a seat.
Sit there.
You know, so I'm excited about it. What can I say?
There is a lot in this chat to be excited about, so let's just get to it. Emily Kane was with me at NPR West in Culver City. Enjoy.
What I really love about this new album is that you went somewhere new to record it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks.
You went, like, out in the mountains, out in the woods, huh?
I did.
Where'd
I
you
did.
Go?
I went upstate 2 hours north.
Of New York City.
Of New York City, and which was really scary for me because, you know, I was scared to move away because I didn't know how to drive, for one thing.
Like a true New Yorker.
Yes.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I'm like, I'm going to go here. I'm gonna move first.
So you moved to, like, the Catskills area?
Yes.
Okay.
And
it's beautiful out there.
It is so beautiful. And I was, prior to that, like, visiting Airbnbs and getting to know the neighborhood a little bit. And I spent a month at an Airbnb last summer, 2 summers ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I just fell in love with the little neighborhood. I thought there's a lot of musicians that I know.
Mm-hmm.
There's a great community of artists. I think, you know, the Woodstock area, even before the festival and it became this kind of thing, there was artists there in the 30s. And so it's always been a community.
Mm-hmm.
And I needed nature.
I hear you.
So I had to just go and I ended up finding a little place and then my mom and grandma came up with me and helped me buy a car.
I heard your grandma like really helped because she's a used car salesman.
Yeah, well, that was one of her many, you know, hustles.
Yeah. So what did you get?
I got a Nissan Sentra.
Okay. Solid. I love talking about you driving because there are a few songs on the album that totally feel like driving songs.
Oh,
I'm
cool.
Talking about, like, Remind Me.
Yeah.
I'm going to play a little bit now. Been without it for so long. Forgot what it feels like. It is like a song to hit the highway on.
Oh. Been in the darkness till you came along. So glad you think
it's
so.
It's just the right BPM, you know?
Yes, yes.
Where you're like,
yes.
65.
Yes.
No traffic.
Totally.
Break down how your process of making songs for this album was different based on your different environments. So you're out in the woods,
yeah.
You're driving for the first time ever. I assume it, like, changes the way you're
feeling the music.
It absolutely did. I mean, I couldn't believe that there was all of this space and nobody else was in it but me. You know,
it's a wonderful
being feeling. From the city, I'm like, how is this even possible right now?
Because you're born and raised in the city, right?
I was raised in the city, yeah. And when I got upstate, mm-hmm. I just like laid in my driveway, like, I can just, I'm here.
Yeah.
And you know,
yeah. I mean, no one else is
ain't
here.
Ain't nobody up in here. And I wanted to write a song when I felt that way, because of course the honeymoon wears off eventually. Oh, yeah. But so I just sat there, I just like stared out the window, and I just like sang these words into a voice memo. And
really?
Yeah. You remind me of something. You remind me of something. Something that I used to feel myself. Something that I used to feel like a heartbeat racing. And then eventually I kind of pieced together the hook, and I think I cried a little bit when I sang it. Used to feel something like what I've been
missing. That's when you know.
That's when you know. Yeah. I was like, oh my God, this is actually expressing how I feel. Which doesn't always happen with songwriting.
Oh, yeah.
Because sometimes you get too heady and you're like, this is the verse and this is the chorus. But this felt like a direct connection. So I thought, okay, I'm going to stay here for a while.
Yeah. And you guys, it seems like y'all, like, when I listen to the music, and this is for Seven, this was for The Switch, I can tell that you and J-Most, as folks call him,
yeah.
are, like, just in the pocket, because there would be these moments where you just let the groove play.
Yeah.
Okay, the last half of Teach You.
Yeah.
I like that groove you're in.
Yeah.
I kind of want to hit it. It's like, you as an artist and as a singer allow as much stage time and presence to, like, the groove itself. If that makes sense.
Thank you for saying that. I love the groove.
Right?
And I love the groove.
Yes.
The and pocket.
You get in the pocket and you stay there.
Yeah.
And it's almost like, you know how in church the song will be so good and the vocalist has done the two verses and the vamp and the bridge and everything. But the song is over and the band's like, no, we're still going to play.
That's exactly it.
And it's like, you don't leave the song until the spirit's gone. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and I think, honestly, if I had a different producer, it might not be that way. But
really?
J-Mos has, like, the best pocket I've ever seen anybody have. So it's kind of one of the best things about working with him.
Is he playing the bass?
He plays everything.
Because I hear that bass,
yes,
and it's just driving. Yes. Because you hear the top 40 stuff. Everyone's just belting and singing at you for 3.5 minutes. And you're like, even if they're good, you're like, okay, I get it.
Look, if I could belt, I would. Okay. I'd be on that radio doing that.
You probably could.
But I'm just like, let me just play to my strengths. And I know what my weaknesses are. Do I have to explain that I care for somebody in love?
What are your weaknesses?
I can't like belt like Whitney Houston. I'm more of a softer singer. I think the best place for me is to kind of be have power, but to be controlled and rhythmic. Do I have to teach you how to show me when times are bad? How to ask about the day I had and make it all right. And JR too, I mean he's J-Most.
Yeah.
He told me that he started singing softly because in his apartment, the neighbors would complain about like any type of noise at all.
Really?
And so when I met him, he had this music out and I'm like, you sing like I do.
This whisper is, sing.
It's so crazy. Awesome.
Match made in heaven.
There it is.
All right, time for a break. When we come back, I ask Emily about the special working relationship she has with her longtime producer, Jeremy Most. BRB.
This message comes from NPR sponsor, Discover. Here's a familiar situation. You have a question about your credit card. You call the number for help and can't get a hold of anyone. If only you had a Discover card. With 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. A real person. Get the customer service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
The world is complicated, and for many of us, history class was a long time ago.
That's where we come in. I'm Rund Abdelfattah.
I'm Ramtin Arablouei, and we're the hosts of Throughline, NPR's new history podcast.
Every week, we'll dig into forgotten stories from the moments that shaped our world.
Throughline, history like you've never heard it before.
As someone who works closely with the producer, it is a certain... There's a certain... parenting of the thing that you're making.
Yeah.
And you're both these parents.
Yes,
making
absolutely.
A song or a podcast or a show or whatever, and like if one overparents, the other can't parent. And you
yeah.
gotta make sure that like
oh, that's a good point.
You know, like how do you navigate that? It's what seems what can be a parental relationship, I think.
I think it is challenging at times, and we both have very strong ideas about what we think is good.
Mm-hmm.
And so there are moments where he puts his foot down, and then I'm like, yeah, you were right.
What is those, like, what do those fights look like and sound like? Are they fights?
Yes.
Okay.
it's really, it hurts. It's like, not physically, obviously,
yeah,
but
yeah.
It's just like, it's frustrating because you think you've hit a wall. And your fear is that you're not going to overcome this wall to get your ideas out, which is all we
That's
ever
want to
do.
Yeah.
And so, you know, there's been moments where, like, I'm not going to put this out unless this is this.
Oh,
and,
damn.
You know, and, but the general census is we both want this to be good.
Which song on this album had the biggest wall to climb over as far as, like, a production battle with you and Jay Most?
Look at Me Now was challenging in a different way.
Okay.
That song was really a collaboration.
Are you hearing about me? How you dealing without me? Hello. Did you keep all the records? Do they sound good without me? Mellow. Heard you got a new lady.
This is such a specific breakup song.
Yes.
I'm like, you were talking to somebody.
Right? Totally.
Keep the apartment. Does she like what we started?
So that I had that intro for a couple of years, and I didn't know what to put on the back end of it.
Huh.
And then I remember I woke up at the house, and I had a dream. And the dream was the rest of the song.
Did you hear about me?
It was this chanting melody. And then that night, I believe, I played it for Jeremy, and he was just like, look at me now.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, let me find out. Like, that's perfect.
Yes, yes.
How fun. And so we got that part together.
Mm-hmm.
Then there was an instrumental part. And then after the instrumental, the original track modulated, which was awesome, except I couldn't sing it.
Really? Well, how big was the modulation?
It was only like one step up.
It's all right.
And I was like so challenged by this. And I, you know, he was confused. I said, look. This is what I have to work with.
Yeah.
Like, you need to just trust me that this is really hard for me to sing this. And we had a meeting with a label shortly after that. We had to play them our new songs, and of course, we didn't have anything. And so, just the night before, we had finally figured out maybe we don't modulate.
Just stay in there.
Just stay there. It's okay, you know?
Yeah.
It all just came together in the nick of time.
And I love how you know, all the things that I mentioned before, like feeling you guys totally be in a groove, but at the same time, over the last, well, this is y'all's third record together.
Yeah.
Yeah. Over those, I've seen y'all move into different spaces, and I like that, like, I'm still getting the core of who y'all are, but there's a little different. Like, with this album, and what I want to ask you about specifically is there's more synths on this one than I felt like in the last one or two.
Ooh.
Which is interesting because you're in the woods, and when you think of the woods and nature,
cool.
You don't think as much like synthesizer, but like there's synths in here, and I love it. Like there's one, the last portion of Marigold.
Yeah. Oh.
The synths are driving. That's nice.
I like it. Thank you.
Was there I guess, an intention of having more synthesizer sounds on this one?
I think I really got heavy into Tina Turner, like, Simply the Best.
Oh,
that
my goodness.
Era.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I just thought she managed to make these pop records, but they're R&B records, too, and they're timeless. So I wanted to emulate that, and I also wanted to sound more electronic.
Really?
Yeah, and just have more kind of instruments that I think are cool.
Yeah.
Memories will always hold like a dream miracle.
And like, I hate to put music into a decade because there's always all music all the time, but like I felt a wonderful penumbra of 80s in there.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I was into it.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I think it just came out that way. And I don't know, maybe, you know, I'm born in 1985, but I always consider myself a 90s music person because that was really when I started soaking in music. But now, as an adult, I appreciate the 80s more.
Yeah. All right, one more break here. When we come back, how Emily's jazz musician parents influenced her when she was growing up in New York City.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Hulu. Dive into the chilling new Hulu original series, Under the Bridge, the riveting adaptation of the acclaimed true crime book. Based on shocking true events, Under the Bridge tells the haunting story of a murder that lays bare a small community's darkest secrets. Go deep into the hidden world of the town's tormented teenagers as detectives race to solve the sinister crime. Starring Riley Keough and Lily Gladstone, Under the Bridge is now streaming with new episodes Wednesdays, only on Hulu.
Hey, it's Peter Sagal on Wait, Wait, Stacey Abrams gave us the secret to avoiding the curse of the State of the Union response.
I drank a lot of water early.
Yeah.
And I prayed really hard.
Stay hydrated for Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, available wherever you get your podcasts.
I want to ask a little bit about growing up as the child of two musicians. It sounds just like a dream.
It does.
It sounds like a dream. So both of your parents, tell us who they are. They both were making jazz.
Yeah. Yes, they were a duo at the time called Kim and Marion.
Love it.
And my dad is from the Bronx, and he grew up, you know, with bebop, and he became a fan of Lambert, Hendrix, and Ross when he was like 12 years old.
Okay.
And he started following them around.
Oh, my goodness.
And he actually replaced Dave Lambert on some gigs when he was a teenager.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So when he met my mom, who is like a singer doing her own thing, they decided to kind of take on that style of Lambert, Hendrix, and Ross.
Okay.
And their voices were incredible together. But then, of course, they broke up, and they stopped singing together, which was like, can y'all at least still do gigs?
Something.
Okay, I'm trying to get a free cheeseburger. Like, let's go. But they stopped singing together. It was really hard for my brother and I.
How old were y'all when that happened?
Like 10 and 11.
Okay.
And so, but then my mom, like, completely discovered herself as a songwriter, and now makes like the most beautiful choral music, and she's just writing strings, string arrangements now. And my dad is like straight ahead jazz, and he teaches at Smalls every Sunday. He teaches, he calls it the saloon. What does he call it? It's for saloon singers, he says. Like, he teaches you how to conduct a band on a gig and, you know, get over your stage fright and stuff. So they're strong on their own, and I can't imagine them together, of course, at this point.
When you, growing up in that, were you just around music and musicians and the art, like, all the time?
Yeah, we were around. They had some heavy hitters with them, like, you know, some really great musicians, Kenny Barron and Al Foster, and they, so I didn't know the caliber of musicianship that I was being exposed to just by default. So I definitely had a lucky childhood in that sense to just be around that and emulate their tone and hold out these long notes and hear the great songwriting of the American Songbook and all of this stuff.
Were they taking y'all to gigs and stuff as kids?
Yes. We we'd go to their gigs and, you know, I was always like, when is this over? This is boring.
I could easily imagine someone growing up like that saying, I want a career that is not at all music because I've had enough of it.
Yeah.
Did you ever say, I'm going somewhere totally different than this?
Or were you always? As a young child, when I just fantasized about being a veterinarian, you know, I wanted to be a basketball player. But I think instinctually I knew I didn't have those skills. And I just always felt like, yeah, I can do music. You know, just having, just being around mom and dad and my brother. But I don't think I was a very good child singer.
Really?
No, I feel like I forced it. I was like, I'm going to do this.
It's happening.
Like, this is happening.
Yeah. When did you feel like you got it?
Tomorrow. Ask me next year.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll win. Maybe I'll never play. Maybe I'll lose. Maybe I'll leave the game.
What song do you think from the new album will most affect your listeners?
Oh, I really hope they like Go Back, this song. It's the last song on the record.
Yeah.
Had some tough breaks in this town, heaven knows.
Jesse Singer and I were in the studio one day.
Seen some heartaches weighed me down like a stone.
He was playing those chords, and then I came up with the lyric.
Well, I lick my wounds, I got nothing to lose. I'm headed out on my own.
Why do you think this one's going to hit the listeners?
I would hope that people would relate to that sentiment of it can be triumphant where you're saying, I'm never going to go back to that.
Will I make it? Will I taste victory?
Could be a place or a person or like an insecurity that you had. For me, it's like, I'm never going to go back to feeling less than, you know? But also, at the same time, it's a kind of about moving away from home, and you're kind of lamenting on, damn, I can't really ever go back.
Yeah.
Or I can't go back to being a child, or I can't go back to the innocence, or the not knowing. Or so I guess there's different ways to take that song, but it just feels, it feels like it could be an emotional song.
Yeah.
It is for me.
Ooh, I can't expect to find a feeling.
I could see Tina singing this song. I'm calling it now.
Yes.
Coachella, here I come.
Let's go, baby.
I'm going to have a big Emily King poster out there.
Thank you, Sam.
Thank you.
Mwah.
Mwah. All right, many thanks to Emily Kane. Catch her on tour throughout the spring. Her new album is out now. It's called Scenery. And this track that we're playing right now is called Go Back. All right, listeners, as always, this week and every week, don't forget to share with me the best thing that's happened to you all week. Just record yourself and send that file to me at samsanders@npr.org. You might hear the best part of your week in our weekly wrap. That is on Friday. All right, till then, thanks for listening. Talk soon.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Mint Mobile. From the gas pump to the grocery store, inflation is everywhere. So Mint Mobile is offering premium wireless starting at just $15 a month. To get your new phone plan for just $15, go to mintmobile.com/switch. This message comes from NPR sponsor Capella University. With Capella's FlexPath learning format, you can earn your degree online at your own pace and get support from people who care about your success. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu.
All that sitting and swiping, your body is adapting to your technology. Learn how and what you can do about it.
I really felt like the cloud in my brain kind of dissipated. Once I started realizing what a difference these little bricks were making, there's no turning back for me.
Take NPR's Body Electric Challenge. Listen to the series wherever you get your podcasts.